Thank you, Mr. Parton, for special music today. Welcome, everybody. Special Holy High Sabbath. Well, why are we here? We're here because God told us to be here, and God's people do what God says to do. I'd like to begin by explaining I'm not starting a rumor or bringing you new truth. I'll just be making a point. We know and understand the Day of Trumpets represents the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. We also know that's when he begins his millennial reign over the nations. Another fact we all know and understand is that absolutely nobody knows the day or the hour when that will happen. Now, with that understanding, none of us know when that happens. I'll ask this question just to make a point. And again, to be clear, my question is not about the timing of the return of Christ. The point of my question will be about how well we listen to God when he speaks. So I'm about ready to ask the question, but first let's turn over to Matthew 25. The parable of the 10 virgins informs us when the 10 virgins were waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. Five of them noticed they lacked enough oil to wait any longer, so they went out to renew their supply. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Those that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. While they were gone, the bridegroom shows up. The five virgins that were ready, they went into the wedding feast. Now, the point of the parable is to be careful not to neglect or allow God's Spirit to, I'll just say, run out. If we are not ready when Christ returns, we will miss out. The point of the parable is to have us have a happy ending, just like the wise virgins. They didn't miss out on the wedding, the supper, the celebration. They were ready when the time came. So that's the point, that we're to be ready. Five of the virgins had the door shut. They missed out. Now, I'll take some liberty with the parable to make a point, so please bear with me. Let's read verses 11 to 13. Matthew 25, 11 to 13. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. So, verse 11 tells us they did learn their lesson. They needed to be better prepared. So they did go, and they did get some more oil. But they still did not get to go in. They simply were not ready. Now, I know I'm taking some liberty with the parables to make a point. Now, here's my question. If we are lacking a sufficient amount of God's Holy Spirit when Christ returns, will we miss out on the first resurrection and have to spiritually grow some more before we can go in and have our part in the kingdom? The five virgins that did go to get some more oil didn't die. They still lived in town, and hopefully later they'd get to meet the bride and the bridegroom. But they missed the wedding, the supper, and the celebration. Again, just to be clear, I know I'm taking some liberty with the parable, but here's my point. We must absolutely be truly ready for the return of Jesus Christ as this day represents. If we are not, and we miss out on the first resurrection, do we want to take the chance that Christ will still continue to work with us until we learn our lesson? We don't know that, of course. We know God will finish the work he started in us as long as we don't turn away and reject his word. And we also know the first resurrection is a better resurrection. The only way we'll be in the first and better resurrection is if we actually listen when God speaks. So that's the title for the sermon today. Do we listen when God speaks? I'd like to address the subject of how well do we actually listen when God speaks? How well do we actually follow through with our careful obedience to live by his every word? Is it possible we might be letting down spiritually and as a result become lukewarm, even to the point we allow the Holy Spirit to go out in us? God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. He gives it to those who listen when he speaks and when he instructs, and of course then follow through on that instruction. Before we get to a few examples of some of the specific things about God speaking and us listening or not listening, I'd like to take the time to explain why am I going on about all of this. God never changes. His word never changes. What he said in the past is still true today. Therefore, his word, his law, his instructions all still apply today. Notice what God inspired the Apostle Paul to instruct Timothy and therefore the ministry to do. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 and I'll read down through verse 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judges the living and the dead at his appearing and his coming. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. They weren't carefully listening to God's word. I wonder when he gave this instruction to Timothy and then all future teachers of God's word, if Paul had in mind those very same instructions that God long ago gave to Ezekiel to tell the watchman of his responsibility to warn the people not to sin. Let's read that warning, Ezekiel 3, 16 through 21. Ezekiel. I'll get there. Ezekiel 3:16. I went too far here. There we are. Starting in verse 16. It came to pass at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I've made you a watchman to the house of Israel, therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning for me, from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if you don't give him the warning or speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness or his wicked way, he'll die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul or your life. Verse 20, again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he will die because you have not given him warning. He'll die in his sins, and his righteousness, which he has done, will not be remembered. But his blood I'll require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he'll surely live because he's warned and you delivered your soul. Now let's turn over to Revelation 3, 14 through 19. Revelation 3. The angel of the church of the Laodicean write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, you're neither hot or cold. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and know not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness doesn't appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The lukewarm are told they will miss out the wedding, the supper, the celebration, unless they turn their life around before it's too late and buy the gold tried in the fire. Again, just to be clear, I'm not saying any of us are wicked or that we will not endure sound doctrine. I'm trying to make the connection between the ministry preaching the word, which includes reproving and rebuking as well as exhorting, and relating that with the problem of someone becoming lukewarm. If the word, that is what God speaks, is being preached along with any correction, any reproof or rebuke, along with encouragement and exhortation, then there is no excuse for not listening when God speaks. There is no excuse for being lukewarm. The lukewarm person cannot blame the ministry for not warning them if they're letting down and not really listening when God speaks. How might that apply to us today? I had a hard time choosing what to use for examples of how we might not listen when God speaks, because I don't want to come across as accusing or finding fault, while at the same time fulfilling the responsibility to correct and reprove along with encouragement and exhortation. So this is how I decided to do it. I'll tell us some things, some basic things mostly, that God speaks from his word, and then we can personally decide if we honestly listen when God speaks. All right, now here's an easy one. Leviticus 11, 1 through 49 tells us what things God says are clean to eat. And verses 46 and 47 summarize that chapter. Leviticus 11, 46. It says, "This is the law of the beast and the fowl, every living creature that moves in the water, and every living creature that creeps on the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." I think we all try to listen to God with respect to what he says here. Now, I say try because I had to tell someone one time the Chinese food that he liked had pork in it. He never bothered to check, but to his credit, when he found out, he did stop eating that. Another basic area we might think is easy, but in reality is tricky, and that's gossip. We might not listen to God's instruction as carefully as we think, because, you know, hopefully we don't gossip about one another, but we might gossip about political figures, entertainers, or people in the news. If we repeat something we hear in the news about someone we don't really know for a fact that it's true, well, then we're gossiping. Most likely, we never met him in person or talked to him in person. We could even be bearing false witness. So we have to be careful what we repeat. How do we know if it's true? Someone might hear something bad about a political figure, so then they vote for the other guy. We don't have to turn there, but in Daniel 2, God has something to say about that. Twice, God says, he intervenes in the affairs of men, and he sets up the rulers. So today, if we're listening when God speaks, we understand, in effect, God is telling us our votes don't set up the rulers, and we don't have to listen to all that political gossip. Another example, maybe it's not so easy for everyone, what about tithing? Matthew 23:23. Christ said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, because you're hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith." He says, these ought you to have done, but don't leave the other undone. So God speaks very clearly and plainly, we are not to leave tithing undone. We are to do it without excuses. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. And you say, how have we robbed you? And the answer is in tithes and offerings. If we were to miss the feast because we did not tithe as God instructs, then how could we honestly say we, or even think we're listening when God speaks? All right, actually the Sabbath and the holy days are two of the areas in which we could let down if we're not careful, as we need to be about paying attention to God's instructions. You can put in your notes Titus 3:1. It says we're to obey magistrates, that is, be subject to rulers and authorities. I mention this because we were instructed to register for the feast sometime in April. I hope we all followed that instruction and were faithful to obey that instruction, because if we did not register without a truly valid reason, then how can we say we listened to God's instruction to obey the rulers and have respect for the authority of the Home Office? All right, what about the Sabbath? Do we listen when God speaks his instructions about how we are to observe the Sabbath day? We are commanded to be here every Sabbath. It should be obvious, health issues, that's a valid reason to miss. But we are not to miss because it might be more convenient to just log on to the internet instead of coming to services in person. We certainly don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see the end approaching. Read that in Hebrews 10:24-25. I'll turn there and read that. All right, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some were forsaking the assembling of themselves together. We are specifically told not to do that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That is what we should be and must be doing. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. When the hard times come, we need to be there for each other with encouragement, with help. We can't do that if we're not there each and every Sabbath, each and every service. The afternoon services on the holy days are commanded every bit as much as the morning service. Again, unless we have a health issue or a truly valid reason, there is no excuse for staying home, save for the afternoon service, or just coming to one or the other. Again, unless there's a truly valid reason, I don't want to pick on anybody. Notice Deuteronomy 16 and verse 17. Deuteronomy 6. Okay, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 17. Here it says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you." Now let's turn over to Leviticus 23, verse 28. And then verse 31. Leviticus 23 and verse 28. "You shall do no work in that same day. It's a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God." Now verse 31. "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." So the Sabbath and the holy days are statutes to be kept as God tells us to keep them. Back in verse 3, we're told the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. A convocation is something called out, like a public meeting, an assembly, or a calling. We are called to assemble together every Sabbath by God. Do we listen? Are we lukewarm sometimes? How well do we listen when God speaks, when he calls us to assemble before him on each and every Sabbath? What you do, what I do, that's up to each one of us. When Christ returns, he's not going to judge you by what I do. He's not going to judge me by what you do. The five wise virgins who were ready, they went into the wedding feast. If the other five were not faithful in the little things, like taking some extra oil, and they missed out as a result, how can we think we will not miss out if we're unfaithful in little things? Now, failing to attend or not attend services, that's not a little thing. Excuse me. Matthew 24, 42 through 46. Matthew 24, starting in verse 42. Here it says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come, but know this, if the goodman of the house had known in which, what time the thief would come, he would have watched, he wouldn't have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." If we're being faithful to keep the Sabbath and holy days as God instructs, then we will be found faithful. If we are habitually late, or maybe don't dress as respectfully as fitting to appear before the great creator of the entire universe, or maybe not really paying attention to the sermon, then we might have a lukewarm problem. Could even be worse yet if there's a lack of respect for God's called and commanded assembly. So I'm just mentioning some basic areas where we might not listen when God speaks. Psalm 111 and verse 1. Another basic area we can look at. Psalm 111 verse 1. It says, praise you the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Do we? Do we do that with our whole heart when we sing the hymns? Do we really and truly with all our heart and with all our attention sing praise to God? I've mentioned this in the past. We should be focused on what we're singing as well as doing it with our whole heart. Anything less would be failing to listen to God's instruction to praise the Lord with our whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. What other areas might we not listen when God speaks? Here's an example of God speaking and us listening or not listening. The Feast of Tabernacles is only 2 weeks away. In Leviticus 23, God speaks this instruction, this command to us. Leviticus 23, 33 to 36. Okay, Leviticus 23, 33 to 36. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is the holy convocation. You don't do any servile work therein. 7 days you make an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day is a holy convocation to you, and you offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It's a solemn assembly. You do no servile work therein. Now, turn over to Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 15. Deuteronomy 16, 13 and through 15. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, you gathered in your corn and your wine, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant, maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, fatherless, and widow that are within your gates. Verse 15, 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast to the Lord, your God, in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore, you will surely rejoice. Remember, Ezekiel, God had Ezekiel tell the watchman, tell his people, hear the word of God. We are not to stay home. We are told, we are commanded to go where God places his name and to go there for all 7 days, stay for the last great day as well. If God chose to send Jesus Christ back to the earth, just as we were having services on the opening night of the feast, just as we're picturing the beginning of his millennium rule, will he find us there because we listen when he speaks? Would he see that we planned to be there, if at all possible, for the opening night service? On the other hand, would he see that we didn't really listen to his instruction to be there when the feast begins? Would he wonder why someone was missing, not even seen at the feast? Did a boss or a teacher or a non-member mate pressure us to stay home from the feast? Did we listen to a boss that said we'd lose our job if we don't go? Did we listen to a teacher that said our kids have to stay in school and not go to the feast, even though God commands us, take our sons and our daughters to the feast? When I was doing my pipe fitting apprenticeship, I had to tell them I'm taking off for the feast, and that was have to drop out of the program. But I had to go before the board, and I told them I'm going, and then I had to wait out in the hall, and I heard them say, well, you know, we don't know about this, whatever he's talking about, but we know he's going. And they allowed me to go, and then I missed those classes, but I didn't get kicked out. God said to go, so I did. Do we listen to a relative that tried to pressure us to stay home? See, did we or would we listen to any of them or to God? Again, I'm making the point. We need to listen to God when he gives commands and instructions. It is about God finding us paying attention to his word when Christ does return, whatever that day and hour, whenever that arrives. Jesus Christ made that same point in John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth will make you free. He makes the point again in John 14, 23 and 24. John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. One more verse that God speaks, we need to listen and hear. Luke 11, 28. Okay. Luke 11 and verse 28. Let's see. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. No wonder it didn't look right. Verse 11, 28. But he said, yes, rather, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we can read that in 2 Peter 3, 9 through 18. Second Peter 3, 9 through 18. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? Looking for, hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, some are hard to be understood. They that are unlearned and unstable twist, like they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. Here it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what will be the end of them who do not obey the gospel of God? We're told in Hebrews 5:9, Christ, being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Romans 3:11 says, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I am not telling you anything you don't already know. Certainly, I'm including myself. I try to encourage all of us, take care we don't become lukewarm about anything that God speaks. How many times does God tell the lukewarm to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling and not neglect so great salvation, or take heed they stand lest they fall? If we in fact do not take care to listen when God speaks, how can we possibly think we're not being lukewarm, maybe being careless of God's word? I'd like to read a brief quote from Mr. Rick Shaby from his August 31st, 2023 Home Office Weekly Update. This is what he said. Brethren, please pay attention to God's word and plan to observe the upcoming feast days and all of God's word, for that matter, exactly the way he says. Train yourself by making the right choices, using the strength of his spirit to choose his way, his truth, and his life. Let's let go of the attitudes that hold us back from following him. Let go of any bitterness, strive to overcome sin and the sin which so easily besets us. Recently, one of the brethren told me, someone said they liked it when they could stay home, watch services over the internet, because they didn't have to get dressed up. Well, I offer two thoughts here. The first one, when the king in Matthew 22 sent out invitations to his son's wedding, some didn't even show up. They made light of it and they ended up getting killed. The second thought is that there's a man that does show up, but refused to dress properly, and he got kicked out. He's bound hand and foot, cast out into outer darkness. Pretty serious stuff. We're to be at Sabbath services, and we're to be at the feast. We're commanded by God to show up on time, properly dressed for God's commanded holy convocations, the Sabbath, the holy days, and the feast. How many times over the years have we heard Matthew 4:4? God tells us, live by every word of God. I don't believe any of us think that means, just close enough or just good enough. That would be a lukewarm approach to God's word. We know that means live it exactly and carefully respecting the instruction. We're to go on to perfection and grow in grace and knowledge. Well, we know that. But how are we going to grow if we don't even take care of getting the basics down to perfection? Three times in the first seven verses of Isaiah 51, we're told, hearken to me. Hearken, really listen. Hear intelligently, often with implication of obedience. 16 times in the Bible, we're told, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. 40 times in the Bible are these words, as the Lord commanded Moses. All 40 of those times, Moses was careful to do as the Lord commanded. Moses was careful to listen when God spoke. But the children of Israel didn't do so well at listening. There's many examples in the Bible showing how some didn't listen when God spoke. The children of Israel were to go into the promised land. They didn't listen. 40 years later, they were told to go in, remove the inhabitants so they wouldn't learn to worship their false gods and idols. They didn't listen. King Saul was told, destroy the Amalekites and all their possessions, but he didn't listen. The kings of Israel were told not to multiply wives to themselves, but they didn't listen. A classic example of Uzzah, not to touch that ark. Well, he didn't listen. Well, how did that work for them? Every one of those decisions ended in disaster. They simply did not listen when God spoke to them. We can go back to the five foolish virgins for a moment. I stretched the parable just a bit, make a point. But I don't want anyone to miss the point. They did, in fact, miss out. They simply were not ready. They were not there to hear the invitation to come into the wedding. They missed the call. They missed out. If we are careless in any way about listening to what God says when he speaks to us through and by his word, we won't be ready either. You know, I just gave some examples, but anyway, you have to decide for that. Are you listening or not? We choose the path we walk. Our goal is the kingdom of God. We either serve God or sin. If we don't listen, we're more likely to serve sin. We're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So take it seriously. Actually, we're to take it very, extremely seriously. When we pray, we ask for God's will to be done. So do we do the will of God exactly as he tells us what to do? When we pray, do we ask God every day to renew his Holy Spirit in us? We need that help every day. Before the Day of Trumpets arrives, times are only going to continue to get worse in our day. We have to be paying close attention to God's instructions in order to be ready for the Day of Trumpets and Christ's return. We know from Matthew 24, Jesus said, if it were possible, even the elect could be deceived. We should not be deceived. We have so many instructions and warnings about how to be careful at the end and right now for that matter. We're told it's time, wake out of sleep. We're told, take heed, we stand, lest we fall. We're told to be diligent, to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I'd like to turn to a final scripture this morning in Hebrews 12. Actually, I was going to add Malachi 3, which says when Christ returns, he's going to discern between those who serve him and who don't serve him. But we'll just go over to Hebrews 12. Verses 25 and 26. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him who speaks. For if they escaped, or didn't escape, those who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he's promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. All these warnings and more show the need for us to pay attention to God's word and not fool ourselves by hearing but not doing. We wouldn't have all these warnings in the Bible unless we could get spiritually careless or lazy or lukewarm about how we actually listen and then do what God says to do. I'm not trying to be negative today. I'm trying to encourage all of us to be careful with how we listen and obey God's word. When we come to services, we're to encourage one another. When the Day of Trumpets is fulfilled, and when Christ shakes not the earth only, but also heaven, we want to listen to that last trumpet sound with joy and with a joyful expectation of the arrival of Jesus Christ as he returns to the earth. We don't want to be fearful or wish that we were not hearing that right now because we weren't ready. The Day of Trumpets will be a fearful day for some and a joyful day for others. We get to choose what it will be for us. The Day of Trumpets will truly be a joyful day for us because we will be invited to go into the wedding supper and the celebration, because we listen when God speaks.